94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us here for the next hour. 888-729-9494. We have a lot to talk about here. Howard, how are we doing today?
I hurt my back this morning.
Yeah? What happened?
Shoveling the snow.
All that snow?
All that snow.
Surprised you made it in here through that.
I'm telling you, it was just brutal shoveling all that snow. That, well, I shoveled it just to make the weather people look good because they always look so bad.
Well, listen, not everyone is a former meteorologist for 1 week like you.
That's right. During a blizzard, so I know what the deal is.
You know real snow.
But anyway, it's all good. It's not all good.
Well, here's what it is, Howard. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving was great because the Cowboys lost. It gave us renewed hope. And then Sunday came around, Howard, and whatever hope we had, and I guess it still exists, but whatever hope we had for this season, I mean, we all have to just kind of check that at the door. After the Eagles lost, Howard, and you were there watching it, to the Dolphins. That was, we've had bad moments this year, but that was, brutal is the right word. That was a brutal loss.
It was awful. It was embarrassing. Not embarrassing for me, but embarrassing has to be for them. Disgraceful to lose to the Miami Dolphins. And I don't care how well they played. They played well because the defense, in reality, just didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't show up.
And they've been playing so well for a month. That's the most puzzling part.
I know. It's made 17 points to each of the Patriots and Seahawks. And they allow, 37 points.
Howard, the Dolphins didn't score their fifth touchdown this season until week 7. They scored 5 touchdowns on 5 consecutive drives on Sunday. How does that happen?
I don't have an explanation. I don't have an explanation. And obviously players know that. I'm going to take this back a little bit. I think what Doug Peterson said, Monday morning with Angelo, after he was cleaning up the eggs, it's funny, they people bring eggs now to the Wells Fargo. I've never heard of that before, bringing eggs to the Wells Fargo.
Well, you better watch out next time you're on the parking lot.
I think it was a bird that took a big dump is what I do think it. But whatever. What Doug Peterson said in the morning, he should have stuck with totally. We didn't want it as much as they did. He didn't single out any one player. Obviously there's players there that didn't want it as much as they did. I don't know why that's a statement that you should shy away from. Now, I know from a public relations standpoint, that's not a good thing.
Well, it causes more of a scene.
Well,
yeah,
but I remember years ago when they played awful against Cincinnati.
Doug's first year.
Was that his first year?
First year, 2016.
And he said, not everybody played hard.
You asked the question. Well, you kind of pressed him on the question.
I didn't get that part of it. Because I'm watching that game, I said, boy, that was just awful. And then I just re-asked the question. He says, no, not everybody played hard. And I had 6 players talk to me and say, I'm glad he said that because we're busting our ass. And if there's guys in here, and there obviously were, that weren't playing hard, they should take responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think Doug, after it was all said and done, I know he said to John Lynch, who was working for Fox at the time in their production meeting, he said he's glad that he said that because after that, they played better.
They did. They had 4 games left after that, and I think they won 2 of them, and that wasn't a very good Eagles team.
No.
But there was definitely effort the last 4 after that.
Yeah, but the point is, just stick with it. I mean, he was right. He was being honest, and honesty is what the players have to hear. You can't coddle them all the time. You can't. And if somebody says, Malcolm Jenkins says, he doesn't think that was the case. Well, you know, he may have been not mailing it in, so to speak, but there are players that had to be mailing it in. You can't lose to that team. I don't care how well they play. Your talent is better than theirs. So I would have been happy if he stuck with it, but I know it creates a little bit of a public relations thing and the players who really just are too sensitive, and most of those players understand. But there's some players I know that are too sensitive. It just say, suck it up. Just play harder the next time. That's all.
Yeah,
I mean,
the why bothers me, Howard. Like, it's December.
Oh, yeah.
It is. You're one back of the first place in the division. You still have a chance. Like, this isn't week 3. This isn't week 4. The idea that in week 13 to go down to Miami and have a team that has 2 wins want it more than you. Like, what? I just don't understand what this team is anymore. I don't. I mean, a couple years ago, it felt like they hated to lose. They don't hate to lose anymore. At least when I watch the games, I don't see a team that hates to lose. Because if you hate to lose, you give max effort.
Well, I will say this. There are players on that team that do hate to lose.
Not
enough when you lose.
Yeah.
Okay. There's not enough. But there are players that do. But there are players that half an hour, 45 minutes after it's over, they've turned the page. And that's in every sport. I see that with baseball.
Mm-hmm. But in baseball, you have 162, so you kind of understand that mentality.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't understand it at all. When you suffer a terrible loss, you lose a game in the ninth inning. You lose because you committed mistakes.
Right.
You can't accept that, and it is accepted at
times. But you have so many more to make it up. In the NFL, you don't. You don't have time to make it up.
I understand that. I'm just telling you what happens, but it happens in every sport, and it happens in basketball. I can't speak to hockey. It's a different mentality. But I think there's still players in hockey. Everybody has those players on the team. If you have too many of them, you're a bad team. But you can't just turn the page. You got to be really, really pissed off. You really have to be. Brandon Graham last night was, and I saw him, obviously, after the game. We talked to him after the game with the other media people. And he was not happy. He wasn't happy when he walked out. I saw other players in the locker room that weren't happy. And I can't tell you who didn't care because I don't know. I can't get inside their head. But I just believe that happens too many times in professional sports. And that can happen. But that loss can't happen. That loss can't happen. That's just...
They wanted it more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
said the same thing.
It's ridiculous, Howard. It's ridiculous at this point of the season. It's ridiculous after the year they've had. And it just, like, I think we all keep waiting for them to wake up, to figure it out. And at some point, you have to stop wondering if it's going to happen, because why hasn't it happened already? Well, they've played 12 games. They're 5-7. And no matter what we think, it doesn't last. Like, oh, the defense figured it out. Nope. And now the offense got a little better on Sunday. But is that going to last? Like, I don't know what to believe anymore, because all we could believe is not to believe anything.
Well, against Miami, if you scored 24 points, you should win.
Yes.
They scored 31.
And lost.
And they lost. I don't get it. I don't care. Not running the ball as much as people want them to run. They only have one running back. They really only have one running back.
Yeah, well, Jay was okay on Sunday.
What did he run, six times, five times?
Yeah,
not even
he kind of had 4 yards to carry. Like, he was effective.
I don't know. Did he have 4 yards
to carry? I think he did. I thought he was pretty effective. But, Howard, here's what I'll say about the run pass. I'm usually not run the ball Doug guy, but I thought they could have run the ball and just taken the air out of the ball. Like, Miami, they couldn't stop Fitzpatrick. He got in his zone. If they had run the ball more in the second half, the Dolphins probably have the ball less. Like, you could have made it a different game.
But you're not supposed to give them five straight scoring drives.
I understand that. But if you know you can't stop them, or you feel like Devontae Parker's a problem, Doug could have changed the game plan. I felt on Sunday Doug was more of an offensive coordinator thinking about the best way to score rather than the head coach.
Well,
and he's usually good at that, Howard. He's usually good about time and possession. Sunday they lost it.
But I don't care. I don't care about running the ball as much as they did, because there were penalties on offense. So that changes the down and distance. You're now coming from behind. You're two scores behind. So you had two drives where you had to pass the ball. So that builds up
that
the number
changed,
two.
But it was still 36-19. Before, Doug had said this yesterday, I think it was. Before the last two drives, I think the run-pass ratio was still 36-19. It was still pretty big before the last two drives.
Miles Sanders is your effective runner.
Yes.
And he had 22 or 23 touches. That's a lot.
16 carries, right? It's 5 or 6 catches.
And he passed the ball, and he had passes thrown.
I think he's playing really well.
I think he's playing terrific. But you can't wear him out. You still have games left. Now, when Jordan Howard comes back, obviously, there'll be, I'm sure there'll be a little different ratio, especially against the Giants.
Well, they were before Howard got hurt. They had become a very balanced team, and then it's changed.
You're missing a good running back. You can't. Remember, Sanders is a rookie.
I understand.
Yeah, he's.
But he was running effectively.
I don't think he ever had that many carries at Penn State, did he?
Well, he was behind Barkley for most of his career.
Right, yeah.
But is three or four more carries going to change much with Miles Sanders? I don't think so. Maybe every week it's a lot, but not one game.
Well, yeah, but that's what you're looking at. You don't know how long. Remember, he's been out. Howard's been out, three or four games
He's
now?
Missed three games. Yeah. He's been out since the bye. Yeah. And the whole thing is frustrating. 888-729-9494. That's how you hop in. Will in Jenkintown is up on WIP. Hey, Will. Will, you there, buddy? I'll put Will on hold. Joe's in Marlton. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing? I think the Eagles, they seem to be broken. And I also have serious concerns about Wentz. He can't close a game. I mean, I look at the past. He was 1-9 as of last year in game-winning drives, opportunities to win a game, and he came up short in all but one case, and that was against the Giants where Jake Elliott kicks a 61-yard field goal. So I don't see – I have concerns about Wentz. I really do.
Well, look, on Sunday, I will not say Carson Wentz was one of the reasons they didn't win, but – I mean, Howard, it's the truth. He doesn't have a good track record bringing them back. It's just the truth.
Well, he did score. He did move him down the field, but
he can't take that sack. He can't take that sack before 2 minute warning.
Everybody makes mistakes. I saw Tom Brady throw a receiver in the end zone way over his head, mm-hmm. and he was open in the back of the end zone. Everybody makes mistakes. I talked to two people from other NFL teams today. And the comments from both were, people don't realize, the question was, are they killing Wentz? And I said, well, not mostly. Mostly it's Doug Peterson. He says, but they do kill Wentz. He says, people don't realize how lucky they have it. And that's what you've got to look at. And
but why?
He's a top 10, Joe. You can get him.
This week
he played well enough to win.
But he doesn't win these games. Like, he has
but
to start winning.
The defense lost the game.
I understand, Joe. I understand what you're saying, Howard.
Expect him to score 38 points against the. But
there were plays left on the field. Like, I don't think
there's plays by every team left on the field.
But because he's the quarterback.
Yeah, but there's plays by Tom Brady left on the field. There's plays by Patrick Mahomes left on the field. Everybody leaves.
But when
plays
you lose,
on the field.
We have to bring those up. Those guys win.
But they didn't lose because of the quarterback or their offense. They lost because their defense sucked.
But a mistake is a mistake, Howard. When a corner blows a coverage and a quarterback blows a read, it's the same thing. They are mistakes. They changed the game.
Okay, but if you have to identify an area in which they lost the game, it was defense. It certainly wasn't
offense.
Yes,
it was defense.
Okay, every quarterback makes mistakes, and he made mistakes.
Yeah.
But nobody praises him for the good play coming out of the pocket and finding J.J.
Arcega-Whiteside. It's a very nice
play. Okay, but nobody brings that up.
What do you mean? You're talking about whoever you talked to around the NFL saying we're lucky. People praise him all the time.
Not Elliott Shore Parks.
Howard, I'm not going to praise him for the routine. He makes a nice play. I'm with you. He made a nice play on Sunday. I thought he played mostly well on Sunday.
Okay.
And I don't think Sunday was about Carson.
Okay, but the caller, that's the point. The caller says it's Carson. It's not Carson.
No, but he brings up a fair point. He doesn't bring them back.
He did.
Howard.
He did. They were down. 13-10. He brought them back.
13-10.
13-7.
That's not a comeback. I'm talking about the fourth quarter. You're losing. Go win the game.
Okay. He was down two scores.
I understand that.
Okay.
But in his career, he has a very poor track record of coming back in the fourth quarter.
I'm talking about Sunday. All right, I'm talking about Sunday.
Well, so my gripe on Sunday is more little things. He can't take the sack. He missed Alshon. But you're right. The defense on Sunday lost the game.
He played two poor games the weeks before.
Yes, we know that.
All right, and we understand that.
He's not had a very good Sunday season.
His name should not come out of your mouth.
Well, that's not true.
Yes.
Well, Howard, wait a second. If you could point to 10 plays that lost the game, a couple of those belong to Carson Wentz.
Okay, a couple out of 10, that's a pretty good percentage.
Right. But I'm sure someone tonight will
Patriots
call back.
The Patriots lost. Can you park? Point to some of the plays that Tom Brady threw.
Howard, we have to stop doing that. He's not in his class.
I get it, but my point is, Joe, every quarterback
does not have
a perfect game.
But we're dissecting the Eagles' loss, and we can't pretend he wasn't part of that.
Okay, because he's on that team. He's part of it.
Well, he's more than on the team. He's the driving force. He's the quarterback.
It was not his fault. That defense sucked.
I think the caller's point was he didn't say it was his fault, but when is he going to rescue them? And he doesn't do that.
Two scores with, 2.5 minutes left? Two scores with 2.5 minutes left.
Two scores with 2.5 minutes left. 23 unanswered points. It didn't start in the second.
But when they fell behind, you want them to come back. They fell behind, and they had 2 minutes. It was just over 2 minutes.
Yeah, but before that, they had a three and out as the Dolphins were in the midst of their five straight touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Like, that can't happen. You got to make a drive.
And what was the reason for that, Joe? What was the reason for that?
That particular drive?
Yeah.
Was there a penalty on that one? A drop pass?
I don't know, but I'm asking you, what was the reason for that? Did the receiver run the right route? Were the correct blocks made? All I know is that team scored 31 points, and it's an insult. It's an insult to football fans of America that they score 31 points against the friggin' Dolphins and they lose the game.
Yeah.
That is a stone cold joke.
I agree with you on that. I agree. But I think the point, at some point, he has to bring them back. He has to lead them to a victory when they're down. Like it's not.
But he's done that.
Howard, since he came in the NFL, I don't think there's one starting quarterback that has had less game-winning drives. It's a starting quarterback.
Well, he didn't have a game-winning drive against Chicago. He only had four third-down conversions.
That's all.
To save the game.
Yeah. I know he was good in that game. I gave him credit for that one. The Buffalo game, he was good. But I don't think it is unreasonable for the fan base to say, hey, quarterback, rescue us. The defense
not
is playing bad.
Not after this game.
And you can say it anytime you want.
No. Not after this game.
I mean, I disagree on that. Let's talk to Steve in Levittown. What's up, Steve?
Hi, good evening. I think we all can agree that Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, won't be here next year. At least I hope it's the case. But I wanted to get both of your honest opinions on the offensive philosophy of Coach Peterson. I really would like to hear both of your objective opinions of his offensive philosophy, because I feel that he got caught lightning in a bottle the year they won a Super Bowl, and since that time, his coaching has gone downhill. That's my opinion. I could be very wrong, but I'd like to get both of your opinions about Coach Peterson, and I'll listen.
Steve, and we appreciate the call. Steve, and I think Howard and I are on the same page. I really like Doug. I think Doug's a good coach. I don't believe he's a fluke that can't coach, and it just was one lucky year. I do think, just Sunday's game in particular, I thought they got too pass happy and they could have won a different way. But in general, Howard, I think Doug's a good coach.
I think Doug's a good coach. And people either blame the coach or the quarterback. The whipping boy this week is Doug Peterson because he was honest on Monday morning and said he was honest. That's why he's the whipping boy. And then he tried to roll it back a little bit when he said they wanted it more than us. He was honest. He's absolutely 100% correct. And he was honest. And I like that honesty. But as far as a coach, would I say that it wasn't one of his better games? Yeah, I would say that it wasn't one of his better games. I don't know if the timeout would have made any difference on that trick play because the mistake was made, unfortunately, for the Eagles by Josh Sweat, who only came in a couple plays before because Derek Barnett had gotten hurt.
He let the guy go. They caught the ball.
You know, people say, well, they're not coached up. Well, Brandon Graham said last night, yeah, they work on that play.
And Doug said on Sunday after the game that they knew that the Dolphins might do this.
Yes, so that's not the case. When a player makes a mistake, Josh Sweat's not supposed to come after the man with the ball. What was that, the kicker that threw the ball, threw it to the
punter? Something like that, yeah.
It was a kicker
punter. I mean, it was a great play,
It really was, but once Josh Sweat breaks towards the ball, then he leaves the player that he's supposed to cover open,
right.
And the other people are supposed to.
It was a mistake. Execution.
To say that, well, it's Doug Peterson's fault. Now, if he called a timeout, would it have changed anything? Would they still run the same play?
Maybe. We don't know. I mean, who knows?
I don't know whether they would change personnel or not if they did that. I don't know. But, okay, so let's say, and he wasn't sure whether he should have called a timeout either. You can go both ways on that. There was a mistake on the defense on the Wildcat play.
Yes.
There was
big
a mistake.
Run.
Yeah.
That was like their first big play.
Well, that's
play.
The defense. The defense has to understand. Yeah. They know that some of those plays could be coming. So, but to say that Doug Peterson is the problem here, I think people are getting a little carried away.
I agree. I still believe in Doug. 888-729-9494, #9494. We'll come back. All your phone calls, reaction as the Eagles drop a game, an unbelievable game to the Miami Dolphins. And when we get back, Howard, we have to react here. As the Eagles cut one of the longest tenured players, the guy's been here 3 years now, the guy that's been on the team.
I don't know if he's one of the longest. Well, he's been here 3 years.
He's been on the offense for a while now, and he was actually playing a lot of snaps earlier this year. We'll talk about it coming up. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin here for the 6 o'clock hour. You guys with us, 888-729-9494 as we react to a ridiculous loss on Sunday for the Eagles down in Miami against the Dolphins. And Howard, the Eagles made a move, an odd move considering the time of the year. The Eagles released Mac Hollins today, who's been here now. This is his third year. And look, a guy, I think, in his rookie year, Howard, that showed some promise to be, you know, some sort of role player at wide receiver, good on special teams. It's gone downhill since. But the weird part, Howard, is he played so much earlier this year and now cold turkey cut in, you know, before week 14. Weird.
I almost think, it is weird. I almost think that they did it as a message. And I don't know that Mac Hollins is a message.
It's not a big enough message.
No, it's not a big enough message. I don't know. He is what he is.
Special teamer.
Yeah.
He never recovered from that injury. At least I don't think he runs as well as he used to.
And there's no other wide receivers coming back. They didn't add any wide receivers.
Right. And they brought up a guard from the practice squad. So it's not like they brought in someone real.
Unless somebody got hurt, but unless they needed the roster spot. But who, I'm trying to think what they would do. Was there anybody not dressed Sunday that was a wide receiver? I don't think there was any.
I don't believe so. I think they had five, right? They had five?
I think seven.
Jeffrey, Aguilar.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Ortega, Whiteside, Ward, and Hollins.
Yeah.
So now they have four wide receivers?
Yeah, I guess, unless there's somebody else.
It's just, it's not weird to do it in October, but it's weird to do it with 4 weeks left in the season. It's just, the whole timing of this is very strange, especially because a month ago, Howard, Carson Walsh, the wide receiver coach, said he was one of their highest graders. Like, he tried to defend him.
Yeah, well, I don't pay attention to any of that.
Well, we shouldn't.
But I don't think he played poorly.
He is what he is.
It's one of those moves. It's like, well, why did they do that?
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Let's talk to Tyler and Manic. What's up, Tyler? Tyler?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Sorry, I had to take you off speaker real quick. Honestly, I wanted to bring it back to the Carson Wentz thing. My thought on that is, quite honestly, everybody that is defending Wentz really sounds like Giants fans that were defending Eli Manning back in the day. It was always an excuse. It was always, we didn't have the running back until Saquon recently. We didn't have the receivers. There was no defense. It was no this, no that. And it was always living in the past. He'd have one good game, and it would be, see, he's still got it. He's still got everything we need. And I kind of feel like that's how it is with Wentz. He'll have four just bad games in a row. He'll play well against Miami, and it's all, see, he's back to 2017 Wentz.
You know what? That's the most asinine comparison I've ever heard. And I'll tell you why. Because when people started to complain about Eli Manning, he was at the end of the line.
Right.
Carson Wentz is, 26, 27 years old, whatever he is? And you're comparing him to a guy who was at the end of his career. It's the most ridiculous, pathetic, asinine comparison I've ever heard. I hate to break the news to you, Tyler, and I hope you're not insulted by that, but that was ridiculous.
See, I don't know. I think it's similar in the sense that it's always just going to the past. Maybe he is not the same quarterback.
Wait a minute.
As that 2017 season.
We have the sample is only a few years. If that's the way you want to say it, that people go to the past, then that's fine. But don't make the Eli Manning comparison. That's just foolish.
Right. Like, and Tyler, I'm trying to understand what he means by it. We appreciate the call. I do think sometimes when it comes to Wentz, we do go back to 2 years ago because that's the time he showed us he could be a very, very, top-of-the-line quarterback. It was 2 years ago. With the Manning stuff, it was a decade ago that he was a good quarterback.
Yeah.
So it feels a little ridiculous with him.
If you want to, say, people go back to 2 years ago and have a complaint about that, that's your opinion, and you can express that. But don't make that Eli Manning. Where did Eli Manning come from?
Just trying to find a quarterback that people
Eli
defend.
Eli Manning
is
the guy that as soon as he sees a lineman within 2 yards of him, he goes down on the ground.
Yeah, they're not even close to the same kind of player. Right. Carson holds the ball too long sometimes. But, he doesn't afraid of pressure. Wade is in Chester. What's up, Wade?
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
Good, Wade. What's up?
I want to just make some comments because I think that as a fan base, we get a little convoluted in our fanmanship. And what has been evident is that this team is not a good team. This team is not a better team than 5-4, whatever we are. That's the facts. I mean, we keep trying to act like they are, but when you look at the field, the play on the field, we are not that good of a team. We're not a playoff team. We're absolutely not. Carson Wentz, which is our young quarterback that is in development stages right now, he's an average quarterback right today. And when you go with his progression and get – they can blame Doug all you want. If Doug calls a play on first down and Carson throws the ball, overthrows the receiver, you got a second and 10. Everybody, well, why did he call that play? Well, if Carson Wentz would have made the completion, and it goes on. It's hard to really sit and dissect – and say that Carson Wentz is a bum and he's not going to be. You don't know what he's going to be. Right now, he's a young quarterback in development. This is the older team that needs to be retooled and needs players around him so Carson can actually gel with those players, because the players that basically we have right now, some of them want Nick, some of them don't. You can't have on this team. You know, right now, this team is not a good team. Doug is a good coach. He's proven that. And we just need to retool. I felt like when we won the Super Bowl, we had such a cakewalk schedule. I mean, everything just worked in our favor. Now we're actually we should have retooled after the Super Bowl, but we didn't. We tried to pick up and go and win it again. Dude, I mean, we're just not a good team right now.
They're not. That's they're not. Fact. This isn't a good football. Wade's, you know, Wade's right. They're not a good team. Howard.
I think that's a fair statement. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah. When you're 5-7, you lost to the Dolphins. Saying anything else seems silly.
Here's what's amazing. With all that said, they still have, I'll say, a decent chance. I can't say they're playing an easier schedule, the easiest schedule in the NFL, but they're playing an easier schedule than the Cowboys, so they have a decent chance to make the playoffs. But now there's no more room for a loss.
None.
They could have been in really good shape. And I don't know if you want room because you couldn't lose to Dallas. But now there are no more next weeks after Monday. There are no next weeks if you lose. And I think they're going to win the game. But it doesn't make any difference anymore. I didn't think there was a way in the world they could have lost to the Miami Dolphins.
Right. The Giants are awful. So there should be no way to lose to them, especially at home. Yeah. But, you know, they just lost to the Dolphins. So now everything's possible. Howard, the frustrating part is if they just won a couple of these games that they've lost and it's close, they could have been a scenario where they could have actually lost to Dallas and still jumped over them. But now that's out. Like, they have to beat Dallas. There's no other path in.
You know what's going to happen? Dallas is going to lose on Sunday. And I hope it doesn't affect the mentality. And I don't think it should, because that was such a bad loss last week. If they have any pride, and I'll say pride, not all of them, because a lot of those players do have pride. If they have any pride, they're going to come out and just step on their throat on Monday, because it's easy enough to do against the Giants. Danny Jones, who was Danny Dimes, is now Danny in debt.
He's Daniel Turnover. Yeah, turns the ball over. He's giving it away like it's going out of style.
Danny Dimes went to Danny Nichols, and now he's Danny in debt.
What is he on? What is he on Monday night? Danny bankrupt?
Yeah, he's going to be Danny way deep in debt, because he is a turnover machine.
He is. Yeah, he's a young quarterback that is just turning the ball over left and right. And Howard, there's a lot of talk up there. They're going to fire Pat Shurmur, who obviously used to coach here. Like, they're a team that just feels dead. The Dolphins, I'll give the Dolphins this. They've played hard, and they've been better in the second half than they were in the first half. Still should have beat them, but the Giants feel like a dead team. There's no excuses anymore. Joe in Philly, what's up, Joe?
Hey, I just wanted to say, by the way, Howard, I think that Dallas plays on Thursday again.
Oh, that's right. They play on
Chicago.
Thursday.
Chicago.
Yeah, right. They play on Thursday. Yeah, and that's an unfair part of the schedule. They're the only team in the NFL that doesn't have a short week playing on Thursday night. The only team in the NFL.
Because they give it to them.
You know, for years. I'm not saying this year.
They give it to them the week after Thanksgiving. So it's a regular week.
Thanksgiving's always at home. The Eagles tried to get that change, but there was no energy for that rule change. They always play Thanksgiving at home, and then they play the next Thursday. And it's on the road, but they still have a week.
At least they evened it out by putting them against the Bears, who also play Thanksgiving. So it's like they both have 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, they at least that there's that. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. I just wanted to say Carson Wentz, I'm listening to all these callers on my hold. I'm like, he has no offense. It's brutal to watch. They labor for first downs every drive. There's a penalty, there's a drop pass, there's no protection. It's like, And I watched Tom Brady the other night play against the Texans, and I was like, man, Tom Brady is dealing with a lot of the same stuff that Wentz is dealing with, but the difference is Tom Brady has won Super Bowls, and also the Patriots are 10-2 thanks to their defense and a relatively easy schedule. And, you know, Tom Brady, you know, he's pouting out there. He's giving press conferences down in the dumps, and everyone's like, oh, Tom Brady, 10-2. Look how competitive he is. He wants more from his offense. Whereas you have Wentz, who's trying to stay positive and taking the criticism, but they are dealing with the same thing. Brady's out there getting sacked. He has no O-line, no run game. His receivers can't get open.
Joe, I agree to an extent, but what does Tom Brady have to do with Carson Wentz and the Eagles?
I'm just saying they're in the same boat.
Right, but I think there's a major difference. Like, Tom Brady, this is all obvious. He's slowing down. He's not the same player. He's old. Carson Wentz is in his prime. Like, when you compare the two, the circumstances around them, it's fair to bring that up. But, like, it's pretty obvious one player is in decline, and he's almost done. The other guy's 26. Like, that's not the same thing.
I think that Brady, yes, obviously he's old. He's past his prime, et cetera, but he still could perform if he had pieces around him, just like Wentz would. That's
right,
the comparison that I wanted to
make. Yeah, and that's fair. But I appreciate the call, Joe. I just don't know why we're talking about Tom Brady. Like, I don't know what it has to do with the Eagles situation. And again, on Sunday, and Howard, we talked about this. Carson Wentz did not lose the game Sunday. I thought he played mostly well. I mean, every game there's a few plays that you scratch your head and you say that wasn't very good. But if they played mostly well Sunday, the defense was bad, and I didn't think he was helped out on Sunday, or that any of them were helped out by the game plan. Like, it became a shootout. That's not what that game should have been. Shouldn't have been a shootout. That should have been one they were up and they could have run the ball in the second half and just walked away with a win.
Miami scored 37 points. It's just mind-boggling. I mean, just mind-boggling.
They were averaging like 16 in a game.
No, it's just mind-boggling.
Which is why, Howard, we keep talking about the schedule being easy, and it is. But if you can give up 37 to Miami, you can give up points to anybody.
Well, yeah, but then you look at the 2 weeks before.
I know. That's the craziest part.
Yeah. You look at the 2 weeks before and you say 17-17. Now, they lost both those games. But you say, okay, 17-17 against New England and Seattle.
And one of those is an MVP candidate in Russell Wilson, who scored 30-something last night.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
It's just, they have all the marks of a bad team, Howard. When one unit is good, the other is bad.
Yeah, they're not a good team right now. You can't be 5-7 and consider yourself a good team. And the crazy part is the NFC East sucks, and they still have a chance.
They have
as much of a chance as Dallas.
Yeah, if they beat them.
Yeah. Whoever wins that game.
The crazy part is none of this matters. Sunday didn't really matter. Like, that's the frustrating part, I think, for us. Like, because you feel like it matters, and then, we just know week 16, that game will decide it. 888-729-9494, #9494. That's how you hop in as we vent about the Eagles here, the loss on Sunday. We get back your calls, and we'll talk about maybe changes coming on this coaching staff when this season ends. That's up next. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin reacting here to just a ridiculous Eagles loss on Sunday against Miami. Now the question is for the rest of the season, but moving forward, what changes are going to come here? And let's play this. Chris Morton yesterday, Howard, on ESPN, kind of set the stage for changes on this coaching staff unless a big rally happens down the stretch. Thoughts, Howard?
That's an obvious comment. I know Chris does a good job. But
what is significant? Because he said significant.
That's exactly right. Okay, so the offensive coordinator.
I would say that's significant. Okay. Coordinators are significant.
Okay, so here's what happens. Because Doug Peterson isn't going. I mean, that's clear.
And I don't believe he should.
No, he should not. He should not. But somebody's got to take the fall for this. And I'm not surprised that, whether Jeffrey Lurie said something or not, whether he didn't answer text messages or not, and I would never ask him that question because it's unfair to him because he couldn't give me an answer. And he wouldn't give me an answer, and I totally expect that because, I see him before the games on the field, and I would never ask him that question. People say, well, that's your responsibility. No, it's not, because it's unfair to put him in that position for him to say, I can't comment on that.
And this year's not over yet. They could win their last four. I mean, they're not going to, but they could.
But here's the thing. There's no question that somebody is going to take the fall even if the Eagles make the playoffs. I think somebody's going
to
take the
fall. Well, they need to change something. The status quo, only since the Super Bowl, they're 500
teams. They got to get some more players.
Yes.
Too.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's on Howie. That's upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that being the case, significant, I don't know what significant is. So if you let go the offensive coordinator, and I'm not sure that's going to happen, but somebody's going to take the fall here. or maybe reassign him to another position on the team and put him back at wide receivers coach.
Which
if he
seemed like he did a good job with
okay.
that.
Whatever. I guess that would be significant.
The only thing with that, Howard, because that comes up a lot, the micro thing, it's still Doug's offense, and he still calls the plays. Like, I know Frank Reich was very good at his role.
Yep.
But as long as Doug's still calling the plays and it's his offense, I don't know how much an offensive coordinator is going to change what we see. It's still Doug running this thing.
Yes. And the coaching now is, I like Press Taylor. I do. And I don't know how people can know whether he should be fired because Carson Wentz hasn't made, I'll say, significant improvement. So with that being the case, you're without your receiving core for how many games off and on?
Most of the year.
Okay. You were missing some people on the offensive line at different times mm-hmm. of the season. So with the, and you were missing the running back for three, you know, a guy that's really done a nice job, really done a nice job.
Yep.
You lost Darren Sproles, who could have been a little juice to the offense in certain situations, which we tend to forget about that. So whatever the case may be, I don't know that when people say, well, they got to get a new quarterback coach. I don't know that they do have to get a new quarterback coach, but it'll be interesting to see who takes the hit if, in fact, they don't really play well the rest of the year. And they cannot play well and still make the playoffs.
The one interesting part, Howard, on this is it feels like this is going to be told to Doug. Like, Doug has had pretty much full autonomy of his offensive staff. Like, he had DeFilippo, he had Reich, they left, and he promoted these guys. This might be the first time in Doug's tenure he's being told, like, you got to move on from these guys. That's an interesting scenario. We have to watch it play out. Let's talk to, who we got here, Matt in Doylestown. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing?
You got it, Matt. What's up?
All right, a few calls ago, a caller asked about, you know, lightning in a bottle with Coach Peterson. I'm glad we were just talking about that. You all both supported him, and I want to be clear from now. I'm not saying that he is at the point that he should be fired or anything. I'm not anywhere near there. But I am concerned, and I'm wondering your thoughts on how can you still feel that it isn't lightning in a bottle, that he is the guy, when we're 500 teams since the Super Bowl, and we're playing in the weakest division in the NFL.
Well,
that's the first point.
So, Matt, the first thing I'll say is last year confirmed to me that 2017 wasn't lightning in a bottle because of how they finished and how we had them playing at the end of the year. Like, if they had just, if last year turned out the way we think this year is going to turn out, they missed the playoffs, they're about 500, then I think it's pretty obvious 17 was just the biggest fluke. But Doug last year, again, losing Carson, found a way to rally that team, and they were, you know, a play away maybe from going back to the NFC title game. So last year, that almost confirmed to me more than even a Super Bowl year that Doug's a good coach.
Okay, and I can absolutely admit that point, and that's a legitimate thing, and you know, what impact Nick Foles had to that end is we'll never know, but I do think that you know, he was a part of that. Of course he is. He's the head coach. But what I do also keep hearing is people saying, well, the receivers aren't good, and the wide receivers are dropping passes, and the line isn't good, and Carson Wentz isn't, quote, progressing at the level we want. Isn't something you want out of your quarterback, or excuse me, out of your head coach player development? And I don't see the team getting better, especially the quarterback.
No, he's not as good. I'm going to say this. The head coach is a delegator of responsibility, and he'll tell his coaches,
appreciate it, Matt.
Hey, listen, we need to do this, we need to do this. But the other coaches are the ones that really coach it.
Right, day-to-day especially.
Right, day-to-day. So you can't – all this blame for Doug Peterson is ridiculous. It's just, no, he didn't get dumb overnight. I still think he's a good coach. And whatever the case may be, he has shown you that he has pretty good I don't want to use the word control, but a pretty good handle on the team. The team, and I see it every day, has a tremendous amount of respect for him, and that's one of the most important
things. They play for him. They play for Doug.
Yes, they play for him. And they didn't play for anybody. Well, I shouldn't say they. Some of those guys didn't play for either themselves or the head coach on Sunday.
Well, you know what? Sunday's a good test, Howard, because you brought up earlier in the hour here the Cincinnati debacle, his first year. And we both said, Howard, that after Doug Peterson basically said, yeah, not everyone gave their all, they played harder down the stretch. Whatever he said got them to respond. Hopefully what he said this week that has the same effect as we go down the stretch this year. Let's talk to John in Barrington. Hey, John.
How you doing? The Doug Peterson stuff's crazy. I mean, he did a great job for the last 2 years, not just 1 year. And when he did with Wentz, when Wentz went out, everybody in the city said they were done. They were just, it wasn't even about how bad it was going to be. It was, and not even just our fans. The media all throughout said there's no way this team's going to the Super Bowl. They were considered underdogs in every playoff game at home. So, like, that's crazy. Now, the trick play, that gets overstated too. They work on that stuff. It's not like they were so – they got so surprised.
No, they didn't get surprised, but right. Mistake made, and that's all you needed was one mistake.
Right.
It's debatable whether you say, well, you could have called a timeout. I don't know if that would have changed anything.
I'm not –
but you lost Derek Barnett. Sorry. Who was
even
the player that made the mistake was the replacement for Derek Sweat,
right?
Yeah. But even if you concede that, okay, you could have called timeout. It's not like they got tricked so bad, like they didn't know it was coming. He was ready for it. The guy came up. It happens.
Right, it just happened in the loss to the Dolphins, which gets us all up in a froth. John, we appreciate the call. Howard, Sunday was bad. It was bad. And now. I think we said this last week, the week before. They have to find a way to move on and go beat another bad team because this team is bad coming in Monday. I'm sure we'll talk more about it on Thursday, Howard. But disappointing Sunday, disappointing season. It's not over yet. Somehow, some way, it's not over yet.
So Thursday night, and the Cowboys are favored.
On the road in Chicago. Okay, you know, Howard, the Cowboys and Patriots have the most games in the NFL this year as favorites. And obviously, New England's 10-2.
Well, the fact that Dallas hasn't won against a winning team. Now, Chicago's not a winning team. They're 6-6.
You know what? They could win this division, sadly, without beating a winning team. Because the Eagles would be 7-7 when they get here.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They might win this division with zero wins against a winning team.
And that's why they're in it. And I get it. And
but shame on the Eagles for not overtaking them. Shame on the Eagles.
Yeah, it's...
Because they're not good either.
I really don't. What I was watching on Sunday, I didn't understand. I'm saying, like, what the hell is going on here?
They made Devontae Parker look like Randy Moss. Just jump ball after jump ball.
You know what? I had heard 30 minutes ago he just caught another touchdown.
He might have caught three. Ronald Darby is still trying to out-jump him. Didn't work. All right, Howard, I'll see you on Thursday night.
All right.
Thank you for coming, and we'll come back. Lots to get into. 888-729-9494.